your Bibles today, Matthew 16. Nice little change in the weather. Cool things down, make you get out your sweater. And I enjoyed it this weekend and went hunting yesterday and didn't shoot anything, so I won't talk about anything gory. Had a few small deer I saw, but I passed them all up. And was out in nature, got to see something I hadn't seen in a long time, and that was a covey of quail. 11 quail came across an area where I was hunting, and I was up in a blind up in the air, so they couldn't see me. And I was camoed good enough that two deer ate under the stand. And I was able to just watch them and play. A little buck had horns about this long, you know, and a little doe with him, and just enjoyed watching them. Spooked a gigantic owl when I went in that morning. Made me make sure my salvation was secure. And then two turkeys were in the tree that, as I got in the stand, they decided that they should leave. So if you've never been in the woods and heard a turkey come up in the tree or leave the tree, they make a lot of noise. And so I got spooked again. And when you're down in a deep woods where it's kind of completely dark, you know, and a little eerie, and you hear those kind of sounds, it makes you wonder, what is that? But I had a great time. I enjoyed the nature day and enjoyed being out and just spent a lot of time in prayer and talking with the Lord and looking at the beautiful things out in nature. Matthew 16 and verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Father, as we look into your word today, I ask for your help to help your people. And Lord, if there's someone not saved that hears the message, we pray for them to come to Christ, to see the importance of salvation and a relationship with you. We pray now you'll bless your people today and encourage them and help them and edify them and build them up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've looked at what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 4 through 7 and then the miracles he wrought in chapter 8 through 15. And now we're looking at the reaction of what the people thought of Jesus in response to hearing him teach and seeing the miracles that he did. We wonder sometimes why it's so hard to get people to come to Christ. We wonder why it's so hard as Christians, why other people aren't Christians also. But imagine these people actually heard Jesus speak and saw Jesus work miracles, and yet many of them were not believers. Many of them did not become Christians. And so there is a difficulty there, a barrier there that God breaks through, that he's done for you and for me. We should be so thankful to be saved by the grace of God. Some of these people were undecided about who Jesus was. And some were unrepentant because they just weren't willing to confess their sin to God and turn from their sin. Some were unbelieving. Some were undiscerning. They just didn't recognize and realize, they couldn't make the judgment that this is the Messiah, this is the Christ. Some were unaware of the hour of urgency to make a decision and who Jesus was in their presence. But some made undeniable confessions of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we just had a message dealing with that, where Peter was that spokesperson for the disciples who spoke up and said, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And boy, well, Peter, he just seems to come through at times and be so bold to make statements and willing to do things for the Lord. But we see him being used today in this section of Scripture in such a way that Jesus calls him Satan. Now, Jesus Christ is the Messiah of the Jews and the Christ of the world. He is the Son of the living God. The disciples are those who follow him, who believe on him, commit themselves to obey him and serve him. And today we look at an attitude from people that is an unfulfilled call. The Lord says, if any man will come after me. Are we willing to come after him? Are we willing to be his disciple? Are we willing to make the commitment that he requires in order to be his disciple? Jesus just commended Peter for his faith a few verses back. The insight that Peter had been given by God to recognize that Jesus is the Christ, and the usefulness of Peter that the Lord would give him the keys of the kingdom of heaven, Peter, we know in Acts chapter 10, opens the gospel to the Gentile nations of people. Paul becomes that special apostle called to the Gentile nations to establish churches throughout, but Peter was the one God used to open the door to the Gentiles, to share the gospel with those who were not Jews, and then to go to the Jews in the church and say, we should receive them by baptism into the church as brothers in Christ. They have the same spirit we do. They have believed on the same Lord that we have believed. And the church should be Jew and Gentile, not a separated thing. And so God gave him the key to do this. But now Peter shows the unpredictableness of human flesh, the self-centeredness that we find ourselves in sometimes, the struggle with desires that we face, the battle of fiery darts of temptation that can come our way. We're sometimes like the cartoon character that we have decisions to make, and it seems like there's an angel on one shoulder and a demon on the other. And both of them are whispering into our ears. The angel is saying, there's danger in that, don't do that. And the devil is saying, go ahead, you deserve that pleasure. The angel is saying, there's a price to pay for disobedience. And the devil's saying, you can get away with it, nobody's going to know about it. And we face decisions sometimes like that, with that struggle of our human flesh and the fact that we've been saved by the grace of God. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. The perfect man inside knows the right thing to do, but the human flesh is weak and often caves in to the pleasure of the moment or the desire to do things. Quite often it's not such a severe struggle of Satan and an angel that is advising us, but simply a choice of what is good, better, and best. We often make choices to do things that are not wrong. They in themselves are good, but they may not be the best thing that we should be doing with our time for that moment and in that circumstance. I want to share with you a little outline I've made of this passage of Scripture. Verse 21, we see the beginning of a new era. He uses this phrase, from that time forth. It is the beginning of a new era that Jesus is now explaining to his disciples that he's going to the cross, that he's going to die, and he's going to rise again from the dead. And boy, this goes over their head like something they aren't interested in hearing, like something they're just not ready for, like something that they don't want to focus on. They don't want to think about that happening. And we see, secondly, the boldness of Peter's flesh.
to rebuke the Lord for what he said. We're not going to let this happen, Lord. That's like, Jesus, doesn't matter what you say, we're not going to do that. And that's a boldness in Peter's flesh to try to rebuke the Lord. Verse number 23, we see the betrayal that Jesus reveals. The satanic involvement in this kind of statement. And then last of all, verse 24 through 27 is the blueprint for discipleship that Christ lays out. First of all, the beginning of a new era of time. From that time forth, Jesus begins to teach his disciples and reveal to them, and we find this in all four Gospels and in several occasions where Jesus is preparing them, getting them ready, helping them to understand that he's going to go to the cross and he's going to be killed and he's going to rise again from the dead. The cross was not a surprise to God. The cross was not an afterthought. The cross was not an accident that took place. It was a part of God's plan for the redemption of man from the foundation of the world, the Bible says. Revelation 13:8, Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 through 5 tells us, in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son to redeem man, to provide salvation for man. It was on God's plan when the fullness of time had come. Many theologians have studied, scholars have studied the plan of God and put together an afterthought. You know, God brought certain things to pass to come to that special time where Christ would go to the cross. The cross was not something that every nation had been involved with. Rome was using greatly at this time. Roads to get to places were not available. Language barriers were a problem. All those things in history we see God put into place, and when the fullness of time was come, he sent forth his Son to provide redemption for us. Now he begins a new era. In the same way God began a new era in your life the day that you got saved. The day you got saved began a new life for you, a new era for your lifetime. There's a change that took place. You began to grow in your knowledge of the Lord and your ability to walk with God and in your relationship with Him from that foundation point forward the day you got saved. Another new era began to take place. If you came to that point in time that you committed yourself to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, that you made up your mind, I'm going to serve the Lord with my life. I'm going to learn more about Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me, and I'm going to serve him in some way. I'm going to become his disciple. Salvation is an event that is compared to a birth. It may have taken a process to bring a person to that point that they believed on Christ and got saved. It may have taken going to church. It may have taken a family member praying and witnessing to you. It may have taken numerous things like that that God used. But the event of salvation was an event that took place, and it's likened unto a birth. It's called the new birth, being born again. Discipleship is a process. It begins with a commitment on our part. The Lord says, if any man is willing, if we come after him, if we commit ourselves to be his disciples. Now, some theologians have confused the two of these, salvation and discipleship, and they have created a whole teaching that is called lordship salvation. A person doesn't get saved by becoming a disciple of Christ. And a person who is saved is really not automatically a disciple of Christ. Being Christ's disciple is a commitment that we must make. That we must take up our cross. And before we can do that, we must deny ourselves, our own desires, our own plans, our own will. You take a young person growing up who's been saved by the grace of God as a teenager, and they're coming up in life, and man, they got all kind of plans. You ask kids, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they'll have every kind of answer you can imagine. I went through periods of my life, I remember when I was going to be a cowboy, you know. I had me a horse, and I was going to be a cowboy, and I was going to have a ranch one day, you know, and all this sort of. And I remember I was going to be a fireman. I joined the volunteer fire department, and I drove the truck with the siren on, and I had a hat, and I made captain of the fire department. And man, I was going to be a fireman, you know. And I certainly, there's times I thought about being a police officer and wearing that uniform, you know, and swinging that nightstick and bouncing some heads, you know, and stuff like that. And then when I was 17, I decided I wanted to join the Marine Corps. I saw that picture out in front of the post office of that guy in that Marine Corps uniform, you know, and I signed up. I was gone, you know, and I became a Marine. So kids like that. I mean, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they don't know. I mean, they're thinking all kinds of things. I remember one pastor trained his little boy when he was very young. When people would ask him that, he'd say, "I want to be whatever the Lord wants me to be." Boy, that just kind of sets you back for a little kid to say that, you know. What do you want to be when you grow up? "I want to be whatever the Lord wants me to be." Wow. Man. What do you want to be when you grow up? What changes are going to be made? What decisions are going to take place? The discipleship is a point of commitment to decide, this is what I want to be. This is what I'm committing myself to. And throughout the Scripture, there are appeals to discipleship. Romans chapter 12, we'll look at just one of them. In Romans chapter 12, Paul certainly was a great disciple of Christ. God used him in writing many of the New Testament books. In writing the book of Romans chapter 12, he makes an appeal to believers to commit themselves to the Lord and become his disciples. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I plead with you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, verse 2, the word conformed and transformed have Latin prefixes in the English language. Con means with. Trans means away from. To be conformed to this world is to be shaped or patterned or molded in conjunction with the world. To be like a person who's patterned after what's of this world. To be transformed away from is to be formed, shaped, or patterned away from this world. God would have us to become like Christ, shaped, patterned after Him, not shaped and patterned after the things of this world, the people of this world, the material things of this world. And if we do so, we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And there's where the rub comes in. Doing our will or doing His will. As a Christian, our desire should be to obey God's commands, to identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be involved in a learning process of growth by church and reading the Bible and spending time in prayer and fellowship with Christian people, willing to serve and willing to help others to come to Christ and to be more knowledgeable about how they can serve God as well. So this was the beginning of a new era with these people that are called the disciples of Jesus Christ. And it could be a new beginning of a new era in your life today. If today you make a commitment to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we see the boldness of Peter's flesh in verse number 22. Peter actually rebukes the Lord. Peter spoke from his emotions. He spoke from his love for Jesus. He spoke from his desire to spend time with the Lord. Jesus spoke knowing the Father's will that he would go to the cross and die and rise again. Peter's thinking, "Lord, we don't want you to die. We don't want this to happen to you." And so he tells the Lord, "No, this is not going to take place." in Matthew 26, verse 53 and 54, when they came to arrest Jesus, Jesus said to his disciples, because Peter drew the sword and wanted to defend him, Jesus told him to put up his sword. He repaired the ear of the soldier that Peter cut off. And he said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" Jesus understood going to the cross. Peter didn't understand going to the cross. Jesus understood this was the Father's will for him. Peter didn't understand this was the Father's will. Jesus knew this was his goal, and Peter was trying to stop Jesus from the goal of redeeming man. And so Jesus rebuked him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter, the Father, revealed to him who Jesus was. But now Satan moves him to try to keep Jesus from the Father's plan of redemption for man. Peter often dealt with that battle of the spiritual and the carnal. And we deal with it also. Romans 8 speaks of the fact that there's enmity between the carnal and the spiritual. That there is a problem between the flesh and the spirit. We must think with a spiritual mind and not with the carnal or fleshly mind. Ephesians 4:17 gives the admonition, "Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19 speaks of those that live so selfishly they actually become enemies of the cross of Christ. By seeking to do just what pleases them regardless of what God wants. Seeking to do what benefits self rather than the will of God. Rejects what God wants because it doesn't fit into their plan, their schedule, their desires for their life. The temporary versus the eternal. You know, we've been saved by the grace of God, and it's important that we recognize that, and if we want to serve the Lord, that we make that commitment to be His disciple. And thank God for the many who have done that, and who faithfully serve the Lord, who teach the classes, who do the labor of the church, who spread the gospel, who go to the mission field, who are willing to spread the gospel to others. It takes those willing to be His disciple, willing to make sacrifices of their own abilities and talents and desires that they could use for themselves, but instead they use themselves for God. Thirdly, we see the betrayal that Jesus reveals in verse number 23. "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. He said, Men savorest not the things of God, but those that be of men." Are we concerned with what God desires or what man wants? Are we looking at life from the spiritual perspective of what God wants, or are we looking at it for success in the eyes of the world? Are we betraying Jesus by giving Him just the leftovers of our life, the last place after we've done everything else we want to do and been involved in everything else, and then we just give Jesus a little bit of time? Are we working to help build His church, or are we helping to tear it down by pride and self-will and refusal to cooperate? The boldness of our flesh can speak up and even tell God, "I'm not going to do that," or "I'm not willing to do that," or I don't think that's right." Listen, if God said do it, it's right. God is always right. And when we humble ourselves and yield ourselves to Him, we will certainly be thankful that we have done the right thing and please God. Last of all, He gives the blueprint for discipleship in verse 24 through 27. To follow Christ means we have to deny self, our plans, our desires. When God came along and dealt with me about being in the ministry, I was scared to death. I did not want to become a pastor. I did not want to be in the ministry. It was something that I had great respect for and great awe and fear. I didn't know, didn't think about where the preachers come from. I didn't know they were just normal people, you know, that God dealt with their heart and they went into ministry. I thought, you know, they got to be perfect. Well, I can promise you they're not. They're still human beings. They still have feet of clay, just like we all do. But I was in awe of the responsibility, and so I was afraid of the responsibility. And I struggled with that thing for quite some time. Lost a lot of sleep, wept a lot of tears, prayed a lot of prayers, sought a lot of counsel. I finally came to the point to tell my wife, I believe the Lord is calling me into the ministry. And that means we're going to sell our home and go off to Bible college and get trained. And my wife's response was, you go and I'll stay here. And I said, honey, it doesn't work like that. You got to go with me. We got to sell the house to do this. And it's still going to be tough even doing that. And just a few days of her praying about it, she came around. And it's not an easy decision. But it meant my desire to be a policeman or a Marine or a fireman. Those were my desires. Now my desire had to say, deny self and take up the cross daily and follow Him. I could make more money as a welder in the nuclear industry than I make as a pastor of a church. But the Lord said, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. You see, it means denying some of our desires and our will and our plans to take up the cross and follow the Lord. And this is missed by so many people in Christianity. They simply add the Lord and the church to their agenda and their schedule. And as they have time and as they have, you know, enough, they'll give something to the Lord and let God have a part of their life. It seems like Christianity today can justify any answer, any action, anything they do in their life. They feel like they can justify that. But I believe a disciple won't try to justify any wrongdoing. A disciple will say, I want to serve the Lord, and if I failed, I failed, and I confess it, and I ask forgiveness, and I seek not to do that again. You see, to deny self, the Greek word means to disown, to disregard, to forsake or reject. It means to stop thinking about self and start thinking about God's will for your life. And few really come to that place. The desire for personal pleasure, free time, material things seem to win out over discipleship quite often. Will we be His disciple? Will we abandon our own agenda to say, Lord, I want to do what You would have me to do? To deny self, take up the cross, and follow Him. Taking up the cross means paying any price. You see, for Jesus, the cross meant His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And then He said to His disciples to take up their cross daily and follow Him. You see, every one of those fellows died a martyr type of death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. The early church went through persecution because of their faith in Jesus Christ. What will it mean to take up the cross and follow Him? It means we must be willing to face even death for the Lord. So many want to be called a disciple, but the smallest requirement upon them puts them in rejection mode to the Lord. Whatever God asks of us, we should be willing to attempt. Many are wonderful disciples for Christ. This church is filled with people who are ready to serve, to help, to give, to to try to do everything within their power to see God's agenda move forward, to see more people reach with the gospel, to see more people saved. They're willing to do whatever they can do to serve the Lord and help God's agenda be furthered. That's a part of that taking up the cross and following Him. One songwriter wrote a song about that, and he said, The Lord, he said, my life is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul. And his prayer was, give wisdom to choices I make along every path that I take. So when I complete life's race, well done, you will say. Verse 27 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. You see, when you serve the Lord, when you deny self and take up the cross and follow the Lord and serve Him, there will be a reward that is coming. The Lord will bless those who've served Him. There will be great reward in the kingdom and for all eternity with the Lord. The day of reward will come. But for now, like then, it's an unfulfilled calling. Many have yet to make that decision. Yes, I want to be His disciple. Here's my life, Lord. I want to be willing to be a living sacrifice for You. Let's stand together, please. Thank you all for being here today. All of you who faithfully serve and try and strive to be the Lord's disciple, thank God for you. May more be added to the tribe. Father, we ask Your blessing on this invitation as we think for a moment about what we've heard and how You've dealt with our hearts. Speak to us by Your Spirit and help us to know the need of the moment. Help us to make the decisions we should, Lord, before we leave this place today. May You be honored and glorified in every decision that's made. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.